You are listening to the SSP Podcast. This episode is sponsored by Smart Albums. Smart Albums is the fastest, easiest, and most intuitive album design software available. They've made it so easy so you can get back to doing the things you love. Texted you yesterday about this.
You're already laughing. You're stepping on my lines.
I texted you yesterday about my mother calling me about the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, this is something my mother never does. She never does this. And I'm not saying she's not encouraging. She's always been super supportive. Like when I was in a band, she was really supportive. Like she came to my show when I was in school. Playing football in college or in high school, she came to every game. Little League Baseball, she would come to every game.
She also played in some of those games with you, right?
Right. I don't recall, like when I think back about my mother, I don't recall a lot of, and I know she's going to hear it. She's going to listen to this. I'm sure she's listened to every episode. Okay. So I have to be careful what I say here. I'll get a call and I'll get the line. Of all the things that I've done for you, this is how you treat me. But I don't recall, like, she's not like a words of affirmation kind of person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know your mom.
Yes, you've met her. Anyway, she called me yesterday. I'm out to dinner with my wife. And we went to this brand new place we've never been to before. We were really excited, but the phone rings. I look down at my phone. I see it's my mother, and I'm thinking, I should take this. She calls to tell me that she's listened to the podcast, and I've come a really long way. She said, you know, your communication skills are growing. You're not saying as much. You know, I used to watch these videos you did, and you would say and like, and you know what I mean, and there's a sense of confidence, and I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud of you. I said, thanks, Mom. I really appreciate that. And she says, and you sort of sound like Barack Obama. And I thought, okay. She said, you can tell you're thinking through what you're saying, and instead of pausing and saying, you're rolling the end of your words. And I thought, yeah, I do that. That's true. I do definitely do that. She said, however, your partner, Jeremy. Dude, I can't even get through this. She said, there's an interesting cadence to his voice.
An interesting cadence?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm crying right now. I just am thinking about this vision of my mom, like, really thinking through and critiquing you on these podcasts. And it's
now, so what are you telling me, that your mom doesn't like my podcast, or like I need to do a different podcast?
She doesn't like the part you play on this podcast. Okay. Jeremy,
Sam, you have come a long way. Your friend Jeremy is an idiot.
Okay,
next time I see him, I'll tackle him.
I'm gonna let him know that he's terrible at this. Oh, man, I just had to tell you that. And that took everything.
No, thanks for that.
You're welcome. It took everything in me not to call you after my mother called you and tell you how much she thought you stink.
Well, depending on what time it was, I was probably working with my cadence coach. So.
Okay. All right, we need to get started on episode 4. Episode 4. Episode 4. I'm sorry.
Wait, let me get this. I've got the cadence. Episode 4.
You need to put an in between episode right. And 4. All right, we're doing episode 4. This is episode 4. We interview Abby Grace in this episode. We talk a lot about social media, some of her struggles with social media. We talk through her passions. I think one of the really interesting things, something I want the listener to really pay attention to, is her focus, her desire, her intention to do these anniversary shoots. I think that's really interesting. You know, and what I mean is, like, she's setting out to do something because she really, really loves that. I'm interested to hear your thoughts, Peg.
Yeah.
But before I'm interested. Yeah.
this is where the show where I don't talk anymore after your mom.
We're just going to launch right into the interview.
I want to know how you think about that, Peg, but don't actually talk.
I'm not going to get through this. Okay. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. I just want you to make sure you're paying attention to your cadence as you're giving those thoughts.
Right. Okay. Now, do you want me to talk now?
Yeah, I do. Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, there was something about that, about the anniversary shoots that she was talking about, that kind of reminded me, I think it was in the last episode, or I don't remember where we talked about, where it's still, I'm still sort of changing the way that I think about things, where I'm kind of just being pessimistic, I guess, where there's the part of me that's like, really? Like, you know, but I'm starting to see that there's more people. Like, when Abby talked about that, you could hear the conviction in her voice. And she tied it into a moment. I mean, obviously you're going to hear it in the interview, but she ties it into a really cool moment for her and her husband, which for me really allowed me to see just the genuine conviction that she has to want to do that. And you're talking about elevating photography from, yeah, I'm going to be there and take pictures of your wedding on this special day, to actually, I'm going to be there with you guys again, and it's going to be this thing you're going to have that's going to remind you. I'm sure you could put it in a better, more eloquent way, right? No right. Ums or weird cadence. So please.
Yes, I get what you're saying. I interviewed, and this is a, you know, not a spoiler, but we in the future will release a podcast where we interview Amy and Jordan Demos, not Demos. I kept calling them Demos, but their last name is Demos. And they said the same thing. They have this crystallizing moment that defines the why behind what they do. And I know the last couple of episodes, we've sort of talked on that why a lot, but Abby hit on it, and there's a really interesting story around it. And I felt the conviction in what she was saying. Like, I did not think for one second, okay, I wasn't rolling my eyes like, yeah, we hear this all the time. I told her, and I was genuine about it. That was really, really great. You could talk about that for 40 minutes. And it will be fantastic.
I couldn't talk about it for 3 minutes.
No. But you could. It just wouldn't be that great. But anyway, I want to get to this interview. It's a really good interview. There's a lot of really great information in there. Abby Grace Springman, she's out of Northern Virginia. She's a great photographer. So enjoy. That shoots for me, and I'm at the point now where I'm not totally willing to give up control of editing everything, but he's editing weddings for us, and I walked into my office today and I thought, if he comes up here and he sees this, I'm gonna be incredibly embarrassed. Like, it was terrible how messy it was. I'm not afraid to admit that.
The front entrance to our house is like right here. And I just close the doors in my office most of the time because I don't want people to see it.
You can just tell people that you're renovating.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. Somebody pops their head in. They're like, oh, this is where you work. I'm renovating.
Yeah. They're like, didn't you just move in like last summer? The house is pretty old though. So, yeah.
So you're Abby, right?
Yes.
Abby Grace Springman.
Abby the Grace Springman.
The Grace.
Yeah. That's my legal name.
That is okay. Is it really your legal name? Oh, okay.
No. That's ridiculous.
Is it your middle name?
Yeah, Grace is my, so my full name is Abigail Grace Springman. But I go by Abby Grace just because Abby is what I always go by, and Grace. So when we got engaged, well, no, when I decided to start my business, it was right before we got engaged. And I thought it would be kind of pretentious to take on my husband's last name as my business name if I didn't even have a ring on my finger. And I didn't want to use my maiden name because I knew I would be changing it. And so I just went with my middle name.
So what is your maiden name?
Field.
Abby Grace Field Photography. That doesn't sound right at all.
Neither does Abby Springman Photography, so.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So Abby Grace is easy and because it's short, but it is fun because I'll sometimes get emails to like, Dear Miss Grace. And I'm like, that's not my name.
No. That sounds very like hoity-toity. Dear Miss Grace.
Yeah. I can't wait till hopefully one day Matt works with me and then we get emails to Dear Mr. Grace.
Is there a plan for that, for him to work with you?
There is. It's we've been praying over it and just really like pressing into that, and like we have certain goals that we would need to accomplish before that could become a reality. And you know, God's timing is perfect and good, and that's why this year's been so hard and stressful, because I'm like, okay, not only am I trying to reach my normal quota, but I'm also trying to reach more than that, because if we want Matt to come on with me, I need to make $50,000 more this year than usual. So there's just a lot of pressure right now. But yeah, that's the eventual goal. We were hoping by December, but it just doesn't look like that's going to happen, which is okay.
Yeah. That 50,000, that's a big jump.
That is a big jump. I know.
It's in 1 year.
Pretty intimidating. So
yeah, you can do it.
That's what everyone keeps saying. So we've been working on a couple things, like education wise, that we're launching and hoping to launch, that will hopefully make up, you know, some of that number. One thing that's hard for, I think, a lot of like newer photographers, and I would classify myself not necessarily as newer, but this is my fifth year of, so 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yeah, fifth year of shooting weddings on my own. So I'm just starting to hit a place where knowing that it's okay for those slow periods to come, and I'm taking them for what they are versus like flipping out because you're like, oh my gosh, is this the beginning of the end of my business? Because right. I'm not growing as quickly as I have in the past. You know what I mean?
I totally hear you. I was talking to a couple friends of mine, and they're kind of going through the same thing. You know, they started out, you know, shooting 15, 20 weddings, and then you see growth, and then you see growth, and then you see growth. And then it's, okay, now what? You can't just continue to expect to grow exponentially, but you hit that point of, crap, man, this isn't booking as quickly as possible. For me, it was one of those things where, all right, what do I need to do? Do I just buckle down and plow through it? Do I just blame it on consequence or a circumstance? Or is there something I'm doing wrong? I'm curious, what are you doing, or what are you changing, or are you doing anything when you feel like you're in that moment of like, and you may not necessarily be having one of those moments, but I've just had those random panic attacks where you're like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And everything's fine. But I'm just curious what you're doing in that moment.
I would say my... yeah, no, I've definitely had those where your bookings are slower than you need them to be. And my first instinct is always to look at like, what am I doing wrong with my clients that I have now, or my clients that I've had in the past, that isn't causing them to refer me? Because so many of my clients come from past brides and grooms. So when bookings are slow, it causes me to take a look at the client experience that I'm offering. Like, do I need to change my gifts? Like, do I need to change the things that I'm sending my clients? Also, like, where are my bookings coming from? So, like, the higher my pricing is climbed, the higher the percentage of my clients that come actually from other wedding planners, which was my goal. I wanted to be having high-end DC wedding planners sending brides my way instead of just brides referring other brides, because I wanted to be shooting luxury weddings. So when it got to the point where I referred to my price, I think the most recent time that we had this sort of panic moment was, it really was a pricing issue. Like, the number was the problem. I was out of the mid-range bride market. So I was too expensive for mid-range brides who were having weddings at, like, you know, country clubs or barns or whatever. But I wasn't quite expensive enough for brides looking for a high-end wedding photographer. And so it's kind of like, we referred to it as the, like, preteen pricing stage, where it's like, you know, kids where they're like not cute anymore, but they're not like attractive or like engaging as adults. They're like 11 or 12 and they're just awkward and like, you don't really, I mean, I assume if they're your kids, you want to play with them, but otherwise it's just like, you're awkward. Yeah, like gangly and yeah. but that's where my pricing was. And so I started reaching out to wedding planners and like asking like, hey, can we talk? Like, I would love to just get your feedback on, what your brides are looking to spend on photography and where I fall within that spectrum. And, you know, how do you maybe think that I could change things in a way, not to manipulate brides, but just like, I really love you planner. I love your work. And I really want to be working with your clients, and I think we'd work really well together. I'm just not really sure how to, price myself in a way that instills trust, but also isn't like price gouging, but in the same vein that it's also charging what I'm worth.
Yeah.
So reaching out to planners is really good, but then also looking like inward, meaning like, what is it about my process that's not, that's leaving my clients not shouting my name from the rooftops? Like, right. I want my clients to be evangelists for my brand when I'm done with them. So am I not getting back to emails fast enough? Is it the template of the emails that I'm sending to the initial client inquiry that's the problem? It's the experience that I tend to look at the most to see like where the hangup is, and then like, I guess, other vendors, if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. I want to go back a little bit. You were talking about, you know, your clients being brand evangelists. Caitlin James, who I know you know, and she's phenomenal, and you know, she's incredibly brilliant. We talked a little bit about, you know, the idea of creating this tribe. I'm curious for you, what was the realization or even the transition like from going, you know, to, all right, how do I get these brides to, all right, this is how I get these kinds of clients. This is the kind of client I want, and this is how I attract them.
Well, I think that realization came when I had a sit down with, are you familiar with Justin and Mary?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So Justin and Mary are two of my favorite photographers, and I was sitting down with Mary for a mentoring session, and she was like, okay, describe your style to me, describe your brand. And Mary, you know, knew a lot about me as a person already. She had photographed my husband and I she and Justin had photographed my husband and I for an anniversary session just a couple months beforehand. So I described my style, my photographic style, as like clean, classic, editorial, with like a hint of anthropology. Or maybe that's how I describe my brand. I can't remember. It was one of the two, my style or my brand. You know, it's like a pop of like whimsy anthropology. And she was like, okay, what you've just described to me is completely disconnected from the work that, or from the person that I know that you are. I know, she was like, you're more of an Audrey, and what you just described to me is more of a Marilyn. And so I feel like you are trying to be this person that you're not. And when it was this huge light bulb moment, and like, that was one of the most defining moments of my career, because it caused me to step back and reevaluate, like, what am I doing with my brand? I created this brand based on like a cooler version of Abby Grace that doesn't even exist, in the hopes that it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy, and one day I might become that cooler person, but that also that I can fool my clients into thinking that I'm this cooler person, and then I can book weddings based off of a person that doesn't exist. And those weren't even the kind of weddings that I wanted to be shooting in the first place, because it was all built on something that I thought I was supposed to want, as opposed to who I actually am. So after that conversation, like, it caused me to do a lot of digging deep into like, who am I, Abby, as a person? What kind of things about my childhood and the way that I grew up affect the way that I see love and the way that I photograph through my camera. And I, after a couple months of like soul searching, I realized that I really am a classic lover at heart. I love, red, white, and blue. I love anything like Americana. I have grew up in a very traditional family. I took ballet growing up. So everything about me is just like all American girl, classic, elegant, that kind of thing. And I was trying so hard to be this person that I wasn't. So once that connection like was made that, the things that I identify with as a person are the things that I enjoy photographing the most, because my favorite weddings were always the ones who were not trendy and not, you know, kitschy or cute or like tons of DIY detail. They were the ones that were elegant, like hotel, like high-end hotel ballroom weddings with chic, sophisticated details. And I'm like, why am I so drawn to these? Oh, that's because that's who you are, like, right, as a person, rather than this idea of the person that you think you should be. So that, like, anytime I get a new photographer, like, and we get a chance to chat, that's one thing that I, like, push them on is what, like, who are you as a person? And what are the things that you have found to be like shaping events or shaping experiences in your life? And how does that affect what you're attracted to and what you naturally gravitate towards, as opposed to the things that you're supposed to gravitate towards? Right. You know, like I know a lot of photographers these days are, you know, into the super filmy, soft look, and like it's beautiful. But I, the longer and longer that I photograph, the more that I realize that's not who I am. And that's not the kind of photographs. I mean, I love film and I shoot film for my anniversaries and I shoot it for all my travel work. But when it comes to a wedding day, that's not me, and that's okay. And that trying to force something like that, you're going to expend a lot of energy, a lot of time, a lot of money, pouring into something that ends up just being a dead end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And a frustration. I mean, I think you start to portray something or somebody that you're not, you start to attract things that don't necessarily resonate with your work. And then at the end of the day, you're like, man, this wedding wasn't fun. And it's frustrating. I'm reading this book right now. Are you familiar with Donald Miller?
No.
He wrote a couple books, Blue Like Jazz. Okay, yeah. He just wrote this book. It's called Scary Close, Dropping the Act and Finding True Intimacy. And it's really interesting. It's basically his story, which is what he does. He just tells his story, and then at the end he says, here's what you can take away from my story. But the point and purpose of the book is he's faking relationships. He's, you know, pretending to be somebody he's not. And I'm listening to you and I'm reading this book, and I you know, this morning I'm reading through it going, how much of that has gone into my brand where I'm pretending, you know, this is what my style is, or it's just interesting that you bring that up, because I'm sort of thinking through a lot of that myself right now.
Yeah. And I mean, it's something that I don't think there's ever like a point where that struggle stops, because, you know, you get certain trends that come and go in the wedding and the photographic industry. And you know that if you Instagram a photo of pink peonies, it's going to get 200 more likes than any other photo you post, because peonies are popular. Right. And so there's a tendency to gravitate towards things that you know will attract attention or will attract a certain type of bride, even if it's not the kind of thing that you're necessarily attracted to. So we get, I mean, how many people's logos have you seen in the last year and a half, 2 years that have used either the font Bombshell Pro or some sort of calligraphy?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
A ton. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it begs the question, like, are you actually attracted to Bombshell Pro font or calligraphy as a logo, or are you doing this because you think that this is what other people want you to do, or that you're doing this because you see that it's popular and you're trying to capitalize on that, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just more of like trying to figure out, do I actually want this, or is this just what I think I'm supposed to want? Like, in the same way that your couples for weddings are like, well, we don't really want to like cut the cake in front of everyone, or we don't really want to do a first dance, or we don't really want to do a garter, but we're supposed to do it, and my parents want us to do it, so I guess we'll do it.
Right.
It's like, that's not really what you want. That, right. Then don't do it. And you get a lot of new photographers who don't even know that they're supposed to be asking that question. Like, is this really who I am, or am I just trying to fake it as a using all of these like buzzwords and buzz things like pink peonies and calligraphy, because I know that that's what's going to attract attention. But in the end of the day, like, you're not creating work that's significant to you, because it's all based on things that don't actually mean anything to you.
Yeah. Do you feel like that's over the last, you know, you said almost 5 years, do you feel like that's the biggest thing that you're learning right now? Like, no, I need to sort of cut things away and just be who I am, and things will flow out of my brand because of who I am.
Yeah, definitely. I remember when I first, like the first couple years of my business, I was like trying to decide what kind of photographer I wanted to be, not in the sense of what did I want to shoot, but sort of what vein of atmosphere did I want surrounding my work. I was like, well, I could either be like a Caitlin James and have the cute, you know, just fun photography, or I could be like Justin Marriott and have like, you know, a little bit more serious, intimate portraiture. Like, I have to choose between the two of those. And it's like, but no, you don't.
Right.
you can be anything that you want to be. And I think that, I mean, in life in general, but specifically a lot of times in the small business world, is we create these boundaries for ourselves based on what we're seeing other people doing. And it comes from watching other people and also being told, no, you can't do that, falsely. Like, I mean, short of like breaking ethical rules and laws, obviously, like there are no, you can or you can't do that in terms of being a small business owner. Like, who's to tell me that I can't shoot anniversary sessions on film and weddings not on film? Because I thought it for the longest time. I was like, I can't do that. Like, it has to be consistent. Yeah. No, it doesn't. I am a small business owner. That's the beauty of being my own boss. I can do whatever the heck I want to. And again, short of it being like unethical or illegal, like, this is my business for a reason. And if I want to make decisions about how I want to run my business based on what's best for me, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's a hard question for new photographers to start asking, because they only see things through the lens of how other people are doing them. Like, I have this idea about, you know, doing things this way, but I've never seen anyone do that before. So I'm not going to do that because I don't know if it's socially acceptable.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't know if you've ever put that kind of like boundary on yourself, but I certainly have. I found myself thinking like, oh, well, I would love to send this kind of gift to my client, but I've never seen anyone do that. So
right. Right. Well, it's the biggest thing that's spurred the biggest amount of growth for me was I had to literally stop paying attention to what everybody else was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, I mean, I've said this a million times, and whoever is going to listen to this will have heard me say it a million times, but to me, it produces so much amount of negative energy. For me, for other people, it's fine, I'm sure, but as soon as I stopped paying attention to what some of the, you know, the bigger names or whoever was doing, and I just focused on, well, this is what you like, this is who you are, that's what your style should flow from, that's where your work should begin. I felt like I grew exponentially, you know, after a couple of years, even more so than the first couple of years of starting out.
Yeah. I mean, one of my rules recently is, one of my recent rules is that I don't actually scroll through my Instagram feed anymore. I will if I forget.
Right.
But for me, I struggle with pride and jealousy so much. I mean, those are the two biggest stumbling blocks in my business. And I could be having an amazing day, but then I scroll through my Instagram feed and see that someone's in Bora Bora shooting a wedding in the most beautiful location they've ever seen. And it doesn't matter what I'm doing or where I am, it automatically ruins my day, because I'm like, nobody's hiring me to go out to shoot a Bora Bora. Regardless of what, I mean, I remember my husband Matt and I were in Heathrow Airport in London on our way back from this incredible 2-week trip where I'd shot a wedding in England, I'd shot an anniversary session in Paris, and we'd spent all this time adventuring and exploring together. And I saw one of my friends posting photos from a vacation in the Caribbean, and I was like, why didn't we get to go to the Caribbean? Like, that's not fair. And then Matt's like, hold it. We're in England right now. Like, you're an Anglophile. You're obsessed with British culture. We're literally in heaven for you. And you're poo-pooing about someone else being on vacation in the Caribbean. Like, and it was a huge light bulb moment, just thinking like, I you know, that adage that like, oh, we compare our cutting room floor scenes to everyone else's highlight reels, but it's so true that,
yeah, absolutely.
And especially when you're following, you know, 50, 100, 200, 300, 400 people on Instagram, all you're ever seeing are people's amazing moments.
Right.
And so what are the times that we often scroll through Instagram? When we're not doing anything,
right,
or when we're bored, or when we're trying to distract ourselves. So the worst thing you can do when you're bored or you don't have something amazing occupying your time is to scroll through and look at all the other amazing things that people are doing, because it just makes you feel terrible.
You know, that's the first time I've never thought of that. Like, I've always thought, I've always thought the other side of it. Like, well, of course you're going to see everybody's best moments, but I've never thought about what you just said. Like, you generally are doing it when you are doing nothing.
Yes.
You are
so
doing nothing.
Like the worst.
And you're seeing everybody's
best
thing.
Yeah, if you're off having an amazing time and like you're probably not on Instagram. Like, I'm going to France next week and I can guarantee you I will not be spending time scrolling through Instagram. Why? Because I'm going to be doing other significant things with my time.
Right.
But if I were at home and like in the middle of wedding season and I'm exhausted and just completely wrung dry and I were to log on to Instagram and see, you know, a picture of Abby Grace being in Paris, like hashtag Abby Grace in Europe, I'd be pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why isn't anyone hiring me to come to Europe? Why? Well, I'm just sitting at home. I'm not doing anything significant. And she's out jet setting. Like, it's really easy to get caught up in that.
Well, when you go to France, what I'm going to do, like an hour before we get on this call, I was having a Coke Zero and a Twinkie. I'm going to email that photo to you. You can see while you're in France, this is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. And then I'll send you a picture of a cafe creme and a baguette.
All right. Like, perfect.
Or something
like
that.
It's funny. I feel like you travel all the time.
And that's very intentional that perception is out there, because I desire to travel more for my work. And it's through putting myself up in different countries that I finally started to be commissioned for work in other countries.
Right.
So I think that, I mean, when you're logging on Instagram and you're only seeing like an image, like maybe one photo a day from me, and one out of every seven photos has to do with something travel, it's very easy to assume, oh my gosh, she always travels.
Right.
When in reality, I'm probably sitting at home in my yoga pants and haven't washed my hair in 3 days. But social media, so much of social media is like controlling the message, is controlling the perception that other people have about you,
right.
Which can be a very powerful marketing tool. But, you know, used in the right way.
I think it's a necessity. I mean, I get what people's objection is, you know, with Facebook. You see it all the time. Somebody will always post something about, look, this isn't your life, move on. Or, you know, they say, you know, your social media shouldn't be tied to who you are. But as a brand and as a business, to some degree, like what you're saying, your goal is to be shooting overseas more. Of course, you're going to be posting photos and tweets and, you know, posts about that. I agree with you. It is kind of a fine line. Like, you don't want it to become the core of who you are, but as a brand, which you are a brand, believe it or not, it's incredibly important. So I kind of agree with you. I think it is a fine line, but I think it's very important. I want to change gears just a little bit. You mentioned, anniversary shoots, and you and I talked a little bit about that a while ago, and that's a real desire, that's a passion of yours to do, right?
Yes.
And that's interesting, absolutely, to me. I mean I know people do them, but for you, I feel like it's a focus. Like, no, this is what I do.
Yeah, no, my goal, I mean, eventually my goal is to do like 75% anniversary sessions, or for my income to come 75% from anniversary sessions and 25% from weddings.
Wow.
Just because, and I know that that's like a very lofty goal, but the longer that Matt and I are married, the more that I realize that the wedding industry, we perpetuate wedding day, wedding day, wedding day, wedding day. And then once the wedding day is over, it's like, oh, okay, well, you're not interesting anymore.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that, I think that the tendency when people get married is, you know, you get your picture taken when you get engaged, you get your pictures taken when you get married, and then when's the next time you have your photos taken?
Yeah.
When you have children.
That's right.
But sometimes, I mean, Matt and I have been married for 4.5 years now, and we don't have kids. So that's 4.5 years that could potentially go by completely undocumented. And not that I – what the goal of it is not to perpetuate a sense of narcissism that, like, let's pretend, like, everyone's love story is the most epic love story in the entire world. Because I know that Matt and I have a pretty ordinary love story, and I'm okay with that. But to us, it's the only love story that we will ever know. And it's the biggest love story that our children hopefully one day will ever know. And hopefully our grandchildren will look to it as an example of what true love and true sacrifice looks like. And in order to document that and celebrate that, that's where anniversary sessions come in, is to say that, you know, children are so important, but like you, I firmly believe that you cannot love your family in the best way possible without loving your spouse first. And growing up, I didn't necessarily see a very healthy example of that. I'm really hoping my parents aren't listening to this podcast. what I did see growing up was two parents who were struggling, two very broken people who were struggling to love each other well. And when that got too hard, that they turned to their and focused their attention on their children.
Yeah.
And my parents are still married. They've been married for 35 years this year, and they've fought through it. And they're you know, their wedding pictures are often something that they came back to as like, you know, things haven't always been this hard. Remember how good it was when we first got married. Like it doesn't always have to be this hard.
Yeah.
But I think that anniversary photographs can be an even more powerful reminder of that sometimes, that, you know, maybe you've been married for 5 years and you have two children and it's been 6 months since you had a date night. And your anniversary session is a chance to connect and to fall in love all over again. I mean, I remember when Matt and I were in front of Justin and Mary's camera, we were in Central Park and it was cold. It was really cold because it was November. And Matt hates having his picture taken. Oh, so the fact that we were even there was like testament to how much he loves me. But I remember they had asked us to just hold on to each other and get close. And I remember thinking, I've never been so in love with him as I am right now. And every time I look back at those pictures, I mean, I appreciate the fact that they're beautiful photographs, but even more so, it brings me back to exactly how I felt. So like those little daily reminders of the fact that it just began with the two of us and that our loves were fighting for, and that, reminders, you know, because I believe that every marriage at some point is going to hit a rough patch, and, you know, some rough patches are easier than others and some are harder than others. And, that remembering that having reminders, daily reminders, prints throughout your home that remind you of, hey, remember when you didn't, when you weren't always this stressed out, or remember that time where you guys fell in love all over again as your photographer asked you to slow dance on a dock in Annapolis, bringing it back to that and hopefully like helping to keep marriages a little bit more grounded. And ultimately the goal of my business is to enrich and extend the life of any given marriage through the use of photography, which I know again is a very lofty goal,
yeah.
But that's where my heart is. And that's what I desire for my couples, because that's what I desire for my husband and I. And, I believe that, you know, each of us have different, have a unique sort of thing that we can offer to our couples in terms of the services that we give. And for me, that's it, is hopefully enriching and extending the life of their marriage through the use of photography, both through the experience of the session itself, but then also the resulting images that they can use as reminders throughout their home.
Yeah. I think that's incredible. I mean, podcast interview we posted today, actually, you know, Aaron Forrester.
Yeah, I know him.
That was, I interviewed him and Jeremy, and that was easy because they're two of my closest friends, but
yeah,
what was really intriguing about their interview together was they sort of spoke through the struggle of discovering what you're talking about right now, which is why do we do what we do? And I think at the surface, the very, very surface, it's very easy to say, well, I love taking pictures. They're in love. It's fun. So I want to do that. But ultimately, when you really, really dig through why you're doing what you're doing, I think what you just articulated is incredible, because not very many people get to that point and believe that. Some people will say it, you know, when somebody asks us, why do we do what we do? We sort of say the same thing, you know, creating a legacy, using photography, all of these other things. And we're slowly working on this your wedding day was awesome. We want to make your marriage more awesome campaign. But man, I love what you just, it sounded very real. It sounded very passionate. And I think, you know, to go a step further, there aren't very many people who look at an industry and say, look, I'm a part of this industry. I think it's great. It feeds, you know, my family, it pays the bills, but I sort of want to set it and turn it against itself. And I want to do things this way. And I think that's incredible. I commend you on that. I think that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what you said earlier about people who are like, oh, I'm, you know, that seems fun. Shooting anniversary sessions, I'll do that too. It's like, it's so much more than that. And there's, you know, people who want to shoot anniversary sessions because it's fun and they enjoy it, that's totally fine. And if it feeds their family, that's awesome. But like, I found that the real power comes from the fact that this is a real conviction for me. And that this isn't just a, oh, well, here's another way I can make money off of my couples. That it's, no, I believe in this and I feel passionately about this. And I want to see your marriage better off because of the experience that you have with me.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I was going to close it by asking, you know, give some advice, but man, that was great. I think if you could do a 20-minute workshop of you standing up and just saying what you just said, you will change a photographer's life forever. I mean, it's hard to, in a workshop setting, or even in a mentorship one-on-one session, hey, I'm really struggling with this. It's, you know, I try to get them to the place of, why are you doing this? Like, what is it that you're trying to accomplish and why? But it's so vitally important for somebody to start out answering that question. I think that's great.
Absolutely. And I think something I've talked with, have you heard of Natalie Frank?
I'm interviewing her in a couple, I think next week.
She's amazing. You will come away with your mind completely blown. Natalie Frank is amazing. She's a dear friend of mine, and we were at the Creative at Heart conference in March, and it was something that we were talking about in one of the panel groups that she and I were leading. And I equated it back to Maslow's hierarchy of need. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So for people listening who are not familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of need, it's this sort of pyramid built on people, like, just as human beings, what our instinctive needs are. And like, before, so for example, it starts with like the bottom tier of the pyramid is physiological needs. So like food, water, safety, like rest. And then like we have to have those needs satisfied before we can move on to the next one, which is safety. And then, you know, having safety taken care of, then we can move on to the next level, which is love and belonging. And then the top level of the pyramid is self-actualization. So the idea is that you cannot reach the level where you achieve self-actualization before your physiological needs are met. So food, water, et cetera, et cetera. So I think as photographers, we sometimes get so bogged down in the physiological needs of photography. So like, what should my camera settings be? I don't have enough money for the next lens that I need. How am I going to pay for this workshop that I want to go to?
Right.
That we forget that level of self-actualization, the why are you doing what you're doing,
right,
needs to be answered. And so sometimes you get photographers who don't even know that they should be asking that question. They you know, answer it with a quick, I just love love. And you're like, that's great. Everybody loves love. That's not a good enough, like, you're not building anything.
You can't build a business on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could, but it probably won't go very far because burnout is a real thing. And if we want to be able to push through the hard times, you need to have a significant reason as to why you're doing this. If you want to create significant work, you need to have a significant reason as to why you're doing this. And just loving love isn't going to get you through that time when you're working an 18-hour day for the third day in a row and all you need is a latte, like, injected into your central nervous system. So having an idea and like a bigger picture, like a vision for your business, is going to be the kind of thing that sustains you. But so many new photographers, new business owners, don't realize that there's something that's the thing that they need, and so they burn out because they're just so tired of simply creating something that only satisfies the like prettiness factor, right? You know, absolutely. Like, oh, I created something beautiful. Well, that's great that it's beautiful, but is it significant to you?
Abby, that's perfect. Thank you for
You're welcome.
No, that's great. I mean, I couldn't have ended it any better. That was great. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, you're so welcome. It was my joy, and thanks for asking me to do it. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, do you have anything you want to plug? Website, Instagram, all of that?
My Instagram is at Abby Grace Photo. And if you want to check out my blog, I blog 3 to 4 times a week. It's just abbygraceblog.com, and I blog a lot for photographers. Actually, I have Photog Fridays that I do every week, so that's always pretty fun, I like to think. Yep, that's it.
Abby, that was awesome. Thank you. I don't even think to make. I don't even think to make. I don't even think to make corrections. Famous angels never come through England. England gets the ones you never need. All right, guys, that's it. Episode 4 is over. Thanks so much to Abby Grace. Love her passion, love her honesty. That was a really, really great interview. Check out her work online, abbygracephotography.com. Also, don't forget to find us on iTunes and subscribe. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of the social mediums. We're there. Find us there. Go to samstroudphoto.com. Use the promo code SSPPODCAST for 20% off of everything. Tomorrow we're going to be giving away a free copy of Smart Album Software. It's a phenomenal album design software. It's the best on the market, so stay tuned for that. Thanks a lot, guys. See you next week. You must be somewhere in London. You must be loving your life in the rain. You must be somewhere in London, walking every lane. I don't even think to make.